This audio tape series is published under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, which grants the right to discuss openly and freely all matters of public concern, and to express, no matter how controversial or unacceptable they may be. If you are ill or have been diagnosed with any disease, please consult a medical doctor before attempting any natural healing program. Foods, herbs, or other natural substances can occasionally have dangerous allergic reactions or side effects in some people. People have even died from allergic reactions to peanuts and strawberries. Therefore, any natural method you learn about in this audio tape series may cause harm instead of the benefit you seek. Ask your doctor for help, but remember, they will probably discourage you from trying any of these programs. The information on this series has not been evaluated or approved by the Food and Drug Administration.
There's people here from Alaska, California, Idaho, Minnesota, Missouri, Nevada, all the way from New York, Oregon, Oklahoma, Texas, my home state. I'm from Dallas. Where are you, Texans? Yay, there you are. There's several. Oh, look at this. This is great. And Wyoming, and there's even people here from Australia. So please talk to each other. There are practitioners out here. There's people that have been studying with Dr. Schultz. And there's people out here that have their own personal stories to tell. So I want y'all to be aware that there's a whole network of people amongst you. So please talk to each other. And they're here from all over the world, and they have come a long way. There's several of you, I know, that are big Dr. Schultz fans that are even following us to New York to hear him speak at the Whole Life Expo. So it's really tremendous, and I thank you. There's also a lot of practitioners in the audience today, and I want to thank you for coming and embracing this Dr. Schultz's natural healing therapies and incorporating those into your programs. There's also a lot of you out here that I've talked to personally that I know have been diagnosed with a cancer and that have been told and been given a death sentence and said that you're incurable and that you're going to die. Well, I want you to know that Dr. Schultz is here to teach you something about how you can heal yourself. But what you're going to have to do is open up your mind, open up your heart, because there's something here that's going to benefit you. This man is not like any man you've ever met, and a lot of you here have never met him, or some of you are very even new to natural healing. So what you're going to have to do is open up your mind and your heart. This man is not somebody that has read something out of a book, sat down and figured this out at a computer. He's not some guy that sits around a table in a business suit with other guys in business suits thinking, you know, this might work, and I think this could work. You know, that's what we're seeing out there right now. All these slick images and everybody saying, I've got the answer for you. They've never worked on anybody. All they've done is looked at something in a computer or some research or some statistics in a book. Dr. Schultz has worked with people for 20 years with degenerative diseases, with people that were dying. The doctors had told him to go home and get, you know, tell everybody goodbye. He has seen, he has touched, and he has felt what he's getting ready to tell you today. This is not something that is just hairy-fairy. It is true. So please, just open up your mind, because you're going to hear something today when you walk out of this room that's going to benefit you and that's going to take you and change your life. So please, with a big round of applause, a warm welcome for Dr. Richard Schultz. Thank you.
Oh, man. Yes. Wow. Wow. Yeah, I did. I did feel that. Healing cancer. It's not about a medical magic bullet, and I think all of you in here know that, and that's why you're here. It's also not about a natural magic bullet or an herbal magic bullet. It's not about magic bullets at all. Healing cancer is about education. Otherwise, I could just sit home and make and sell magic bullets. I wouldn't have to get my butt on a plane and come up here to Seattle and talk to all of you. But healing cancer is about education. We have to understand what causes it physically, what causes cancer emotionally, what causes cancer spiritually, and stopping doing that to ourselves. Healing cancer is understanding what prevents it, what heals cancer in your body. We have to know what heals cancer physically, what heals cancer emotionally, and what heals cancer spiritually, and beginning to do those things, add those things into our life. You know, I had a lot of cigarette smokers come into my clinic with cancer. And they wanted a cure, and they had cut down to only a couple cigarettes a day. You know, and tobacco is a horribly addicting drug. And they were suffering, and they were hurting, and they were crying, and they were begging me for my help. And I threw them out on their ass. Do I look like Jesus or some miracle worker here? I mean, I know we're in a church, but it is Saturday. To heal cancer, we have to stop doing what causes it. I know this sounds simple, but I charged a lot of money, spent 20 years teaching this. We have to stop causing cancer in our body. We have to stop creating cancer in our body. I had a lot of other patients come to me with cancer in my clinic, and they had stopped all their toxic cancer-causing things that they were doing in their lifestyle. Cigarettes, high animal food diet, whatever. They wanted a cure too, and they were suffering and hurting and crying and begging, and but they weren't very open. I found that they hadn't opened up their heart and their mind, like Sally was just saying. They still were resisting and refusing to create a new lifestyle, but they were crying, and I threw them out on their ass too. I spent about half my time in the clinic grabbing people by the back of the neck, opening the door, and placing my nice big 12-inch foot right in their ass and kicking them out. Again, do I look like Jesus or a miracle worker?
Yeah.
Well, I have a few fans here. Curing and healing cancer is also about starting to do what heals you and what prevents it. So it's about starting what heals you physically, what heals you emotionally, and what heals you spiritually. In fact, after 20 years in the clinic, we could discuss natural healing, and it would be this simple. Healing yourself of anything is usually two steps. One is stop doing what got you in trouble, what made you sick in the first place, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And at the same time, begin doing new programs that are going to heal you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That is the cure for disease. When we heal cancer naturally, we can't, you know, pussyfoot around. I'm going to say some things today that you might think are a bit intense. I see natural clinics around the world having great success rate with clearing up pimples and bad complexions and helping realign the spine. But when you want to heal degenerative disease with alternative medicine, we need some intensity in it. So if you think that I'm intense today, just remember about what the doctors will do. I might kick your ass, but if you go to the hospital with cancer, they'll carve your ass out of your body. And they'll drill a hole in your gut and put a tube in there, right? So let's never confuse intensity with natural healing with intensity with medical butchery. I used to wish I could pass my hand over a group of people like this and heal all your sickness, because I know there's some very sick people in here. And I used to wish that I could pass my hand over my patients and heal their sickness, their cancer. I spent 20 years in the clinic watching hundreds of people die, rot away, little kids, rapidly growing brain tumor, exploding and splitting their little skulls. And I sat there and I wept with their parents and their relatives. I'm not heartless, but one day in my clinic, God spoke to me. I got the message loud and clear. The disease is not a curse. In fact, nothing is. It's our great blessing to educate ourselves, to illuminate ourselves, to enlighten ourselves, to change our path. They're not tumors. Let me tell you, they're jewels, they're diamonds. I know it can be hard to see through your physical and emotional pain. And it can be hard to see through your suffering. But nevertheless, it's a blessing. My patients taught me this, and today I'm going to explain why and a lot of other things. But before you run out the door thinking you've come to see a madman, I want to thank you for coming. I know people have come here from around the corner and around the world, and I really appreciate that. Because this is how we're going to heal cancer. It's not going to be on television or in the movies or even in the doctor's office. It's going to be about a grassroots operation like this, talking and educating people. Yeah. I'd also like to thank all the volunteers. A lot of people helped to put this together, and all my workers. And I promise you today that I am going to give you 200% everything I know. Okay, what are we going to talk about? What am I going to talk about today? I'm going to run down a list just so you know the agenda. I'm going to talk about the politics. In order to heal yourself of cancer, you must understand what is going on politically about it. A lot of people say, I don't want the politics, just tell me what herb mixed with, you know, what hydrotherapy is going to heal my cancer. The problem is it might heal the cancer in your body, but it won't heal it in your mind. You have to understand that almost everything you've heard about cancer in this country is a lie. Yeah, it's an illusion. Yeah. I'm here to tell you about the real death toll, not the falsified statistics, but what's really going on. And you might say, well, how do I know? Well, I know one way, by traveling outside the United States. Hey, I love this country. I was born here. I love America. But unfortunately, we have a lot of very powerful, corrupt, rich individuals controlling what we know in this country. And some times today, to hear the truth, you have to get the heck out of here. And I do a lot of traveling, and I go to a lot of symposiums, and you'll be shocked at some of the information that I'm going to tell you today. It used to be America, love it or leave it. I think it should be America, love it, so let's fix it. And that's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you a bit about what cancer is, and take it out of this mystical gobbledygook, all these big Latin names that the doctor uses, and give you some simple explanations amidst all the lies. I'm going to tell you the truth about conventional cancer therapy, because you probably haven't heard that. We're going to talk about some different types of cancer. We're going to talk about cancer prevention. I'm going to tell you in detail how me and my patients beat cancer and my clinical discoveries. And then I'm going to share with you the new Incurables program, something we call the Cancer Blitz. And I'm also going to answer some questions, but I can't answer them live, or they'll arrest me and take me away. How many here have heard me speak before? This is great. Fresh meat. I mean, new people I haven't met before. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about me so you know that I'm not some virgin sex counselor up here or some whatever. When I was 11 years old, my dad died in my arms. It took him 3 hours. He puked all over me. He lost bladder and bowel control, and he screamed and cried for those 3 hours. He finally looked me in the eyes, and he said, "I'm dead," and that was the last thing he ever spoke to me. That's a heck of a wake-up call for an 11-year-old kid. And at 14, my mom died dead of a massive heart attack also. They both died of massive heart attacks. They were both 55 years of age. And at 14, I was an orphan. At 16, I had about a year before that. At 15, I was noticing I had pains in my jaw here. Thought I had a toothache. I had pains in my left arm. Eventually, pains in my chest. I started losing my vision and blacking out and passing out. And by the time I was 16, some days I'd pass out 3 times a day. Went to the doctors. They ran all the tests, stress tests, cardiograms, electrocardiograms, x-rays, you name it. And they diagnosed me with a deformed heart. They said my valves were deformed and some of the musculature was deformed and that it was very serious. And I said, what can I do? And they said, you have to have a corrective surgery, open heart surgery. And I said, what if I don't? And they said, you'll be dead by 20. Dead by 20 years old. Because your adult body won't be able to be supplied with enough blood from this heart that's deformed. Well, I ask, is there must be other things. I mean, come on, exercise, food, prayer. My Aunt Hattie, I had a great Aunt Hattie who was wonderful. She'd make up herbal remedies and shove them down me when I was a kid. My brother and I called her a witch. But we always got well. And I said, what about my Aunt Hattie? And he rolled his eyes and he said, look, you'll be dead if we don't get in there and repair your heart. So, well, hey, what the heck? I went into the hospital. I admitted myself. I was in there. I was frightened. They put me on a wing with other young people who had heart disease. And I met another young man named Bob, and he was scheduled to have his open heart surgery the week before mine. He did. The doctor came in and told me he died on the table. And now I had, you know, my mom dying, my dad dying, Bob dying, and it didn't take a genius to figure out I was next. And I think I broke a record for how fast you could put your pants on in a hospital and run the heck out of there. And I set out on a journey to find any way except a saw, cutting my ribs in half, jacking them open, and sticking a knife in my heart. I figured there had to be an option. There had to be another way. And I went on a 3.5-year search to find that, and I found everything. And I did everything. Even if someone said, hey, you got to drink this battery acid mixed with donkey crap, it still sounded better than the saw. So I did it, and I found things that worked for me and things that didn't work for me. But I started feeling better after a year, and after 2 years, even better, and after 3 years, even better. And I went back to the doctor, and I told him I thought I was healed. He looked in the records, was amazed that I wasn't even dead. They did a stress test and electrocardiograms and x-rays and looked at my heart, and the doctor's face was shocked. It looked like he had an electric shock, and his jaw dropped, and he says, this is a miracle. And I said, hallelujah, it is a miracle. I said, but I did a lot of work to make this happen. And he said, really? And I said, would you like to hear it? And I started telling him about the enemas and the exercise. I started telling him about the herbs. I started telling him about the pyramid I put on my head. Everything I did, I didn't know what worked. All I knew is I had a new heart, and I could see him writing mildly schizophrenic, obviously delusional. This guy's nuts. But the reality is heart disease is the number one killer in America. And I was deathly ill as a teenager, and I rebuilt my heart, and I've never had a problem to this day. So, yes, amen. And I can assure you that your body can heal itself of anything if you're willing to make those changes. If you're willing to stop causing cancer or stop causing heart disease or stop causing arthritis or whatever it might be and begin doing new things that heal you. When I walked in that doctor's office with my heart disease, I was on some German blood for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert food program. I was also on my dad's bowel program, which was a poop once a week. At 16, I knew how to tune up a car, but I didn't know how to tune up my body. And I had never thought about all the stuff I was holding on to about my parents' death. So I needed a reworking, and it wasn't anything they were teaching people in school. It was something that I had to discover on my own. I had to just seek my own truth. And I had to rebuild myself. A few years later, I was cooking up some herbal oils, and the pot exploded, and flaming boiling oil covered this hand, burn it right off. I mean, my hand curled up into a ball, and I thought, no problem, I'll heal this easy. I was a tough, natural healing Dr. Richard Adolf Schultz Gestapo healer. And after about 3 days, I went, oh man, I've really hurt myself. I went to a friend of mine who's a medical doctor who referred me to a burn specialist. And this man looked at my hand and he says, you have a very serious burn. And he probed it with needles. I couldn't feel anything. He said it's fourth degree. It means it's burnt to the bone. You even have charred bone and all your skin tissue is dead in most of the areas covering my hand. And I said, it doesn't look that bad. And he said, look here. And he pulled all this tissue out here where you see this pigment right down to a charred bone. Sorry, I didn't mean to give you an obscene gesture here, but it's hard to hold this finger up by itself. And there was a charred bone under there. And then he took a clamp and put it on and pulled most of the casing off my thumb like a cooked chicken. And this was supposed to help my immune system or something. It's supposed to heal me, this experience. And I realized I had done some really severe damage to my hand. He said, you need a skin graft. I said, I can just grow skin. He said, from what? He goes, skin cells don't grow from bone cells. They don't grow from thin air. You don't have any skin cells on your hand. I've just pulled most of them off. What are you going to grow skin from? He goes, it's impossible, medically impossible. He said, you need a skin graft. And I said, what's that? And he goes, we sew new skin on your hand. And I thought, hey, sounds like a good idea to me now. My hands burn off. He asked me to take off my pants. I thought that was a weird request. but I was in Hollywood, and I figured, hey, I took my pants down. He started looking at my butt and drawing some marks, and I said, what are you doing? He goes, this is where we're going to carve the skin off. Now, I had thought there were like sod farms where they were growing this stuff. I had no idea. And again, I broke another one of those records pulling those pants back up. And I said, forget it. Walked out, and in 30 days, I had skin on this hand. Now, it looked a little different, a little weird, but my hand had skin on it. I went back to the same doctor, and I said, hey, take a look at this. And he looked visibly shocked. He said, wow, he goes, and it would only been 30 days. Now, I did a lot in that 30 days with the juicer, with the exercise, with the positive affirmations, with aloe vera, with enemas, you name it. I took 30 days to heal myself, to create this miracle. And he said, I had never, ever, ever seen anything like this in my entire career as a skin doctor. And I said, the reason is because you've been too busy sewing people's asses onto their hands. This man was not a believer, right? Okay? He did not know what was possible, what the human body was capable of. And we're going to talk about that a little later. And a few years after that, I ripped my knee almost off in a skiing accident. I tore all my medial collateral ligaments, my anterior cruciate ligaments. I tore my meniscus, and my leg was dangling. And I went to the top orthopedic surgical clinic in Southern California that does all the baseball, football, and basketball players. And guess what they told me? My knee was destroyed. I'd never walk again without major surgery. They said it was even so bad that they would have to replace the ligaments. And I said, with what? And they said, with ligaments out of a dead body. And now I thought, okay, I'm in a room with Dr. Frankenstein. And I said, wait a minute, can't my body heal itself? And he was like, give me a break. How could you possibly? He goes, I've seen these injuries before. I've done thousands of these surgeries. You'll never walk again without the surgery. And hey, guess what? You know, I get on stage and I just want to go for it. 3 months later, my leg was working again. How is this possible? You know, what's going on here? And the reality is I'm a walking miracle. And all of you in here either are or can be in one way or another. They said that I'd be dead by 20. I'm still here. They said I'd never walk again. I'm walking across the stage. They said that I'd never grow skin on this hand. Well, I don't know what the heck this stuff is, but it works okay with me. All my life, doctors have told me what is not possible, and what I have seen with myself and 20 years in the clinic is you can do anything you want if you're willing to stop causing disease in your body and create a new healthy lifestyle. Okay, got that out. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about the politics. I promise I'm going to go quick on this, but without understanding the politics, my patients couldn't get well. Because it's just a zoo out there of bad information about health and disease in America. Something I wrote here, hot off the press. You're all going to get one of these when you leave, but we're not allowed to bring them in the building, so if I get arrested, I'm going to have to eat this whole darn thing. My pursuit of health, healing, and truth, and living a life closer to nature and God, inadvertently exposed the lies, fraud, corruption, horrors, and murder of the medical and pharmaceutical industries. My clinical successes were an embarrassment to the failings of modern medicine. If my simple healing message got out, it would cause devastating financial loss to a $1 trillion medical and drug industry. My healed patients not behaving and not dying when they were supposed to, and then having the audacity to heal themselves of what medicine calls incurable diseases, were viewed as the enemy. Not miracles, as the enemy. These patients were dangerous living proof of the medical lies and a living testimony to the failures of medical and drug industries in the United States. There is a war going on in America. Unfortunately, health is big business. If you heal yourself naturally, you will then also be an enemy of the Orthodox medical community. You might think this is weird. Many of my patients that heal themselves of diabetes or cancer or heart disease were screamed at by their doctors for doing something so radical and dangerous. Rumor has it that after I leave this building tonight that some unknown people in the parking lot are going to hand you some things that I can't bring in here today. One of these newsletters that I just got from the printer and some other things. But if I brought it in here, I would be arrested. I was arrested on more than one occasion, handcuffed. My clinic was boarded up. I was beaten by the police more than once. Pretty tough guy, though. You might think this can't happen in America. Well, let me tell you, it happens all the time. A friend of mine had cancer riddling his body. Doctors carved half his head off. I mean, his ear, half of his face, and they still told him he was dead. He tried natural treatment, healed himself. Tried to help others, they arrested him. Imagine anybody that could arrest a guy that looks like that. So he went down to Tijuana and opened up a clinic. Helped hundreds of people. In fact, when I ran my clinic, I would get hundreds of his patients coming up after they had healed themselves of cancer with his natural methods. And then I would help them continue on their programs. Well, this man named Jimmy Keller's been arrested. He's back in jail. They went across the border into Mexico. They put him in the trunk of the car. Brought him up here to America, then to Texas. Put him on trial and put him in jail. He's still in jail right now. People have disappeared. People have been killed. I'm not saying doctors are bad. I'm talking about an industry here. A multi-trillion dollar industry. Now, if we live in a country that might assassinate leaders and presidents, and who knows what the heck's going on, I mean, in my little world of health, freedom, I've found out that every weird, controversial, conspiracy thought I've had, when I discovered the truth, it was even worse. Money makes people sick and do bad things sometimes. And we have a lot of people out there that are more concerned about making trillions of dollars and promoting lies than they care about you. I had a lecture in England a few years ago, and after the lecture in London, I was told that the Queen's physician would like an audience with me. And I met with him in a back room. And he told me very quickly and sternly that I was talking anarchy against the National Health Service, which is the English government health service. I was talking anarchy against the British government, and I was talking anarchy against the Queen. And I could be considered an enemy of the Queen for what I said, and if I was British, I could be arrested for treason. He told me I was a very dangerous man and to watch my back. Yeah! That's when I know I'm doing some good work, when I get those kind of compliments. Thank you. We have up here thousands and thousands of dollars in bail money for me today. I mean, this is the kind of life I live. You know, I'm a regular guy. I'd like to just, you know, stay home and sit on the beach. I, you know, got a wonderful woman I live with and a gorgeous kid. And I don't want to sit in jail, but I know that we can change things. Look at how many people have come in here. This isn't even my neck of the woods. I'm so thrilled. The number of us, we will have the power to change things. This is not the Soviet Union, it is America. We have a system of supply and demand. Unlike Russia, that if the government decides we should eat salmon, you get salmon. Okay? In America, if we don't buy it, they don't make it. If we want to put medicine and pharmaceuticals out of business, we just got to stop walking in the hospitals and the drugstores. And that's what I'm educating you to do. We need to put them back in their place. Maybe it's trauma surgery, who knows? But it's only about 2% of the size of the medical monster today. You know, medicine really all started about 100 years ago in this country. Up until then, herbal medicine, natural medicine reigned. But about 100 years ago, medical groups got together and they came up with this great theory. And the theory was that all of you could do anything you wanted. You could eat anything, you could drink anything, you could think anything. And in about 40 or 50 or 60 years, when you exploded, broke down, or fell apart, you could go to a doctor and they'd just give you a nice little white pill and it would all go away. That's what I call the medical lie. And they have been promoting that for almost 100 years now. Ponce de Leon looked for the Fountain of Youth, but he never found it. And the alchemists tried to turn lead into gold, but they couldn't. And medicine has told us that they could cure all diseases with a pill. And you know what? They can't do it. And it's now time at the beginning of the new century that we wake up and see the shortcomings of medicine, the bull that's out there, the lies. It just doesn't make common sense, does it? That you could burn the candle at both ends, that you could live life in the fast lane, that you could abuse yourself and be one of the most decadent individuals in your neighborhood. And after 50 or 60 years, when your heart or your lungs stop or your cancer riddles your body, that someone can give you a pill and it's going to erase 40, 50, 60 years? Give me a break. God, I mean, I know a few people win the lottery, but my patients didn't win the lottery. And those pills didn't heal them. And they're not healing very many people out there. And if it is a healing, it only looks like a healing. The only way to cure disease is to stop doing what you're doing that creates it and begin new programs that are going to heal you. So that's the medical lie. And the medical lie is that you can do all those things and they can fix you with a pill or a little surgical procedure. And that lie now has encouraged the growth in America of the junk food industries and the alcohol industries and the tobacco industries. Like, hey, smoke it, man, drink it. Eat anything you want, enjoy yourself. You have a problem, we'll just give you a pill. And so medicine has fed the decadent industries in America, and in turn, they have supported medicine. In fact, it's commonly known that medical research has been paid for by the tobacco industries in America, with little letters saying, please don't talk about lung cancer. Here's another $40 million. I mean, little letters like that. It's no accident or no mystery that junk food is building hospitals. And I wrote this in a letter to the Whole Life Expo, where I'm going next weekend. Yes, to speak to people in New York City. And there was a little problem with them printing it. And everybody knows if they have a problem with me, I'm going to talk about it. They had a little problem with printing it. They said, well, how can he document this information? I didn't know it was any secret that hospitals all across the country have cancer wings. Have we seen that? Okay. Corporation is selling hamburgers and then to get tax breaks, putting that money into cancer research. Sounds like one industry feeding another to me. We know the tobacco industries, with the Freedom of Information Act, the letters have been released of them supporting cancer research all across America. Why am I telling you this? They took money. They're the number one cancer research hospital. They took money, grants from the tobacco industry. The hospitals are taking money from to build cancer wings. The medical universities all across America are taking money from tobacco, liquor, junk food, candy industries. My point is, do you think you are going to get an honest answer from your doctor or your hospital? Or do you think that they are bought and paid for? Let me tell you, they are bought and paid for. Maybe not on a little individual level, but a doctor doesn't dare step out, move out of that. They'll be the first one hung. In California, any medical doctor that suggests anything besides chemotherapy and surgery and radiation for cancer goes to jail on a felony for 5 years. Let me tell you, we do not have health freedom in this country. And you have to understand that, because when you go out there with your cancer or your friends with cancer, you are going to hear lies. Like I said, even health magazines don't want to publish some of this stuff. It's too scary. I know, it's frightening. But we have a National Cancer Institute. The United States Congress did a study and found over 200 scientific studies around the world supporting non-toxic, natural, alternative, effective cancer treatments. They presented them to the National Cancer Institute in America, and the NCI refused to evaluate any of them. Any of them. Why would that be? Yeah. The National Cancer Institute also evaluated garlic under so much pressure, and they decided that it wasn't any good, even though it's used as cancer therapy all around the world. They also decided that vitamin C wasn't any good, even after Linus Pauling won the Nobel Prize talking about it, especially about healing cancer with vitamin C. But, you know, we sometimes talk about the government has a war on cancer. I think they're having a war on nutrition. The National Cancer Institute just recently declared beta-carotene dangerous. Think about this. This is the nutrient that the American Cancer Society says will prevent cancer and probably heal it. And the NCI, the National Cancer Institute, says it's dangerous. And at the same time, the FDA approved Elestra, which is that synthetic fat substitute, which is known to take vitamins out of your body. So here we have the NCI, or the National Cancer Institute of the government, saying, hey, beta-carotene is probably bad for you. And the FDA saying it's okay to take this fat substitute that's going to take vitamins. I'm getting this message that vitamins and nutrition are bad. This is what I'm getting from the government. What's the death toll? At the beginning of this century, one out of 25 people in America had cancer. This year, it was one out of three. Next year, a lot of scientists suggest it's going to be one out of two. Or every other person will develop a cancer in America next year in their lifetime. Some researchers theorize that everyone will get a cancer in their lifetime. What's the point? Cancer is on the rise. It is not going away. We've not won any wars. Cancer is on the rise. Despite the trillions of dollars put into research and the trillions of dollars into treatment, cancer, it's no longer a disease, it's an epidemic in America. Next year, 1,500,000 people will get cancer. 1 million of them will be dead in less than 5 years. And 500,000 will die next year from the cancer. So the reality is, it's an epidemic in America. If it already isn't an epidemic in your family or in you.